Hello, everyone. It's good to be with you. My name's Claire, and I'm your curate, your new curate, as of last week. So it's really lovely to be with you. And if you would be kind enough to respond in the bold type, I will be leading you through the service. Okay. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. The grace of God has dawned upon the world through our Saviour Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for us to purify a people as his own. Let's confess our sins. You raise the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You bring pardon and peace to the broken in heart. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
You make one by your Spirit the torn and divided. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to a new life in Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Blessed is the Lord,
for he has heard the voice of our prayer.
Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy,
and in our song we will praise our God.
Now Andrew will bring us the reading.
First reading is from James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you honor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on pleasures. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now for the psalmody, Psalm 54. Behold,
God is my helper.
Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me.
Behold, God is my helper.
Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes.
Behold, God is my helper.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever.
Amen. O living God, reach through the violence of the proud and the despair of the weak, to create in Jesus Christ a people free to praise your holy name now and forever.
Our second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, beginning at verse 30. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they'd argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. One of the truly delightful things about worshipping on Zoom has been to see our youngest worshipper. I love the way she says good morning and greets people, especially John. I love the way she shows us what she is wearing, her toys, her rocking horse, her guinea pigs, and I used to love the way that she danced when Robert played his guitar. And I love it when I go to Rackenford School, as we did this week, and worship with the children in church. I love the way they join in. I love their curiosity. I love their uninhibited praise, their questions and their responses. Oh, how I wish we had churches full of children. I love the way that children are so honest and holy themselves. They let us know when they are happy and full of joy, and they also let us know when they are bored or cross or hungry or sad. In this week's gospel reading from Mark, Jesus takes a little child in his arms. He then confronts his disciples with these words: "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me."
When Jesus picked up that child and said those words, it was a small but radical act. It's easy to miss is its significance. Jesus takes up a small child and says to his disciples, do you want to see what God is like? Do you want to see what greatness looks like in the kingdom of God? Well, look at this child. Welcome the child, and you welcome God. It's worth noting the context of this passage. The disciples had been arguing again. Jesus has been explaining to them for the second time that he will suffer and die, but that 3 days later he will rise again. The disciples haven't a clue what Jesus is talking about, but they are too afraid to ask. Instead, they begin to argue amongst themselves about who is the greatest. Jesus asks them what their quarrel is about, but they won't answer. Jesus knows anyway, so he takes the little child in his arms, and suddenly the whole notion of power and greatness is completely upended. Whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. So, what can we learn about God by welcoming children? However lovely the image of Jesus holding a child is, it's dangerous to get too sentimental. After all, children can be good and lovely, and often are, but they can also be bad-tempered, grumpy, and completely and utterly exhausting. So, what did Jesus mean when he talked about children in this way? I have some suggestions. One of the brilliant things about children is that they use their imaginations. I spent the best part of my working life imagining all sorts of things with children. One moment we were in a spaceship, the next we were pirates, and in the afternoon we might be on the Oregon Trail or being part of the Iceni army fighting the Romans. It was wonderful, and they and I could imagine all sorts of things for hours and hours. They didn't need costumes, they didn't need props, they didn't need scenery. If we sat around an imaginary fire, we could feel the heat. If we passed around imaginary cake, we could taste its sweetness. If we'd been marching for days, we could feel the pain in our legs and toes. We could imagine it all. In our gospel reading, I think Jesus is asking his disciples to imagine. He's asking them to imagine a world where suffering and death are not the end. He's asking them to imagine a world where grief and sadness can be turned to joy. He's asking them to imagine a world where resurrection is real and assured. But they can't. They've lost their imaginations. Jesus says to them, "Welcome the child. Open your hearts and minds and imaginations to new possibilities. Remember what it was like to be a child. Recapture that sense of wonder and amazement." Secondly, children are not afraid to ask questions, even awkward ones, especially awkward ones. They are curious. They are not embarrassed about not knowing stuff. If they don't know something, they just ask, and they will keep on asking. The disciples don't do that. In this week's reading, they are too afraid to ask Jesus to explain about his suffering and his death, and they miss out. They miss out on having a truly deep and intimate conversation with Jesus. They are not brave enough to ask or honest enough to admit their ignorance. They believe that avoiding the uncomfortable, difficult stuff is the right thing to do. But they're wrong. And we are wrong when we avoid asking the difficult questions. When we do so, it limits our relationships with one another and with God. When my grandchildren and my children come round, they always know that there will be plenty, plenty for everyone. There will be plenty of food, plenty of chocolate cake, plenty of lemonade, and plenty of time to cuddle and play and chat. I don't think it would occur to the little ones that there might not be more than enough of everything for everyone. There is generosity and plenty in this granny's kingdom, and there's generosity and plenty in abundance in the kingdom of God. But the disciples don't believe it. Otherwise, there would not have been the argument. They don't believe in God's abundance and generosity. They think that what is available is meager, so they have to quarrel about who is going to have the first place, the first prize. They're in competition with one another, and they compare themselves against one another. And in response, Jesus shows them a child. In God's kingdom, there's plenty to go round for everyone. Jesus is enough for us all. And finally, children teach us what God's power, divine power, looks like. Children are a picture of vulnerability. In all cultures, they are at the mercy of those who are bigger, older, stronger than they are. And yet, this is the picture Jesus shows us of God. One of the most amazing truths about Christianity is that God entered our world as a helpless, vulnerable baby. As Jesus held the little child in his arms, he shows us that all children tell us something about God: God's heart, God's likeness, God's power. To welcome a child is to welcome God. To become more childlike is to become more Christ-like. To choose to be vulnerable and to be a servant is to be great in the kingdom of God. Amen.
And so we turn to prayer. In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. God of love, hear our prayer. For the unity of the Church in its witness and in proclamation of the Gospel, God of love, hear our prayer. For the peace and stability of all peoples, and for the leaders of the nations, God of love, hear our prayer. For our schools and colleges, for our places of work and leisure, God of love, hear our prayer. For your blessing on our homes, for our relations and friends and all whom we love, God of love, hear our prayer. For the sick and the suffering, especially we remember Jacques, Jen, Catherine, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Eileen, Rosemary, Richard, Ali, Morris, Ron, Gordon, Sally, and any known to us and not named. And we pray for all who minister to their needs. God of love, hear our prayer. For the recently departed, especially Dennis Holwell and John Stagg, that they may rest in peace, and for those who grieve, and that they may know the hope of Christ. God of love, hear our prayer. God of mercy and peace, we hold before you the peoples of Afghanistan. Be living bread to those who are hungry each day. Be healing and wholeness to those who have no access to health care amidst the ravages of pandemic. Be their true home to all that have been displaced. Be open arms of loving acceptance to those who fear because of their gender, ethnicity, religious or political views. Be peace to those who engaged in armed conflict and those who live within its shadow. Turn our hearts and minds to your ways of just and gentle peace. Open our eyes to see you in all acts of compassionate care. Strengthen our hearts to step out in solidarity with your suffering people, and hold us all in your unfailing love. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who emptied himself of all but love in order to bring life in all its fullness. Let us commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Collect for the 16th Sunday after Trinity. O Lord, we beseech you mercifully to hear the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfill them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Amen. We join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle us in the faith, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with us always. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning. It's been lovely to have your company. Just a reminder about the coffee morning on Wednesday. I won't be here for that because I'm off on a conference for the week, as I've explained in the update. So I think that means that Claire's in charge or Steve is in the office. Anyway, we'll look forward to seeing you next weekend. Have a great day. God bless and see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.